Michael Casey, a great weekend of films for folks to check out, including the premiere of a documentary about a couple of brothers in music that everybody should know, the Sparks Brothers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is a band that everyone should know. But if you don't know the band Sparks, don't feel left out, because as one of the interviewers in the documentary points out, that this might be the most influential band that you've never heard of. But as the music plays on, and you do hear a good amount of this music throughout the documentary, you realize that you're hearing familiar patterns, familiar melodies, familiar tropes, musical instrumentation that show you that Sparks was really ahead of a lot of different people. There's one song in particular, La Dolce Vita, was entirely electronic, came out at the end of the 70s. And in that single song, you can hear the roots of Duran Duran, Visage, all of the British New Romantics, which might explain why so many people misattributed them as a British band. They're actually two brothers. They're from Los Angeles, Ron and Russell Mell. Ron writes all the music. Russell sings the songs. Russell's a hell of a singer. Ron's a really great writer too. Ron actually specifically is a really funny and intellectual writer. His lyrics are really enjoyable. And like, even if you want to go through and just read some of them online, it's like reading stories. It's not like reading just basic rock pop rhyming sort of thing. He builds characters. He's got perspective to it. It's really interesting. And it actually might be one of the reasons why the Sparks weren't given the due that maybe is owed to them, because they do have this humorous side to them. They're very comic, but they're also very intellectual, which leads them to kind of play in the pop genre, but outside of it at the same time. And when it comes to pop music, we tend to like things a little bit more dumbed down, I guess is the best way to put it. You come at really intellectual pop musicians with a little bit of suspicion, as if they're trying to satirize things. They're not. They're totally genuine. They're totally honest. And they're a perfect subject for the documentary. And this is the first documentary from filmmaker Edgar Wright, who has done Baby Driver, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, all those good movies. And he is Sparks fan number one. If the Sparks are a pop band that is both of pop music and outside of it simultaneously, Edgar Wright is a filmmaker and a fan, and he is in the movie, interviewed as a fan. He has such joy for them. He has such interest in their music, how they came up, all of the bands that pay tribute to him there, and there are many. You've got the guys from Duran Duran here. You've got Giorgio Moroder. You've got Beck stops by. You got the guy who writes all the songs for Taylor Swift and Lorde. They just have a lot of fun with this. And Wright brings a series of visual textures to this documentary that make it more than just your standard talking heads documentary. Granted, there are a lot of interviews here and they are talking heads. They're filmed in black and white, and they kind of look like these George Harrell portraits. It's really quite lovely. But he also introduces hand-drawn animation. He introduces computer animation. There's claymation. There's all these kind of visual puns that he's having fun with. There's just all these textures that keep this very lively and very kinetic, which is great because this is a 2-hour and 15-minute documentary. And considering that it never really repeats itself, it never really doubles back and like belabors any points, like it just moves like a rocket from start to finish. And the best part though is Sparks themselves. Ron and Russell have a lot of fun in their interviews. They're very forthcoming about their upbringing, about the kind of Southern California rock that gravitated them towards music, specifically the movie Blackboard Jungle, which was a 1955 teen drama. It's kind of been forgotten, even though it starred Glenn Ford and Sidney Poitier. But everyone knows it because of the opening number of Blackboard Jungle is Bill Haley and his Comets, Rock Around the Clock. And when this movie came out, kids went to it in droves because they wanted to hear rock and roll music. And I don't know if this is a story that gets passed around a lot, could be apocryphal, if not just embellished. But the opening weekend of Blackboard Jungle in 1955, theater owners reported that the kids ripped the chairs out of the floor during the opening song so that they could dance, which you hear a story like that. No wonder parents were terrified of rock and roll music. It made the kids ruin all the furniture. But that is the kind of thing that really burrowed down into Ron Miles' soul and his psyche and like got him thinking like, okay, we need to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. And there are a lot of cinematic references to their music. They're a very cinematic band. Like I said, they make these stories with perspectives, and there's even like this notion of like multiple perspectives that they kind of cut back and forth between on songs. Like I said, that one of their biggest hits is La Dolce Vita, you know, reference to the Fellini film. And it really kind of makes sense that they would then have a documentary about them. And this is also the year of Sparks, because in a few months, the Cannes Film Festival will be underway. And the opening film is the new one from Leos Carax, starring Adam Driver and Marion Cotillard. And the music is Sparks. And it is a musical. Apparently, it is a full-blown musical. So their time has come. And what better way to introduce yourself to the boys than Sparks Brothers? Or if you know them, then refamiliarize yourself with the music, with the guys, with their very, very diverse output. I mean, they've got like 25 albums that they formed in 67 and they're still playing. So, and they change not with the times, but with ever they're after. There actually is a really interesting takeaway from this, which is they kind of go in and out of popularity based off of the music that they're playing with what the scene is accepting at that time. So they've had some number one charts and they played Top of the Pops. And then of course they've gone years in which nobody really knows that they're still around and still recording. Since they don't have severe drug problems, since they don't have large hanger on, since they apparently are very good with their money, they found ways to kind of skate out the lean years, including 6 years in which they were working on a movie manga adaptation for Tim Burton, in which they didn't get paid, but they didn't have to take a job. They didn't have to stoop to try and find a number one hit to pay the tax man or anything like that. So a lot of lessons to be learned here. Lots of fun. This is a really, really energetic movie. It's perfect for summer, for right now. And it is playing in theaters, which is great because it means you get to hear the music roll out. That is the Sparks Brothers, and it is open this weekend just about everywhere.
Well, Michael Casey, for more information about you, about your reviews, where can people go?
You can go to boulderweekly.com online worldwide, or you can check out the paper if you live in the county. You can also go to michaeljcinema.com, where I have got more reviews up there, interviews with filmmakers, what's new on streaming. The movies are coming out. Like I said, they're coming out a lot these days, and we've got a film festival coming up next week that we'll be talking about. You're going to find a lot of that at michaeljcinema.com.